That's where the progress is made. Okay. You can't turn your back on the tough discussions. They got to go forward. And finally, I want to thank my AFT Oregon members who elected me president. And it was based on my skills, my leadership abilities, and not the color of my skin.
That's right.
Okay.
Come on. Wonderful. You've been just great. Wonderful.
Well, okay. I'd say that was a wrap. So join us next month for CBTU Labor Radio on KBOO 90.7. And our guest will be Tom Chamberlain. Again, holla.
Thank you all very much.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki Memorial 2019 on Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza in Portland. This year, the annual Hiroshima and Nagasaki Memorial event is focused on the unequal impacts of nuclear weapons and will explore the disproportionate impacts that nuclear weapons have on women, children, indigenous communities, and communities of color. Again, that's Hiroshima and Nagasaki Memorial 2019, the unequal impacts of nuclear weapons, on Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Northwest NATO Parkway and Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Shortened lifespan, death.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll screen Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil on Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, Cuba's oil supply was cut by more than half. This film tells of the hardships and struggles, as well as the community and creativity of the Cuban people during this transition away from a highly mechanized agricultural system to one using organic methods of farming and local urban gardens. Again, that's How Cuba Survived Peak Oil, Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening. You are listening to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma, and tonight we are going to be interviewing Steve Griggs of the Steve Griggs Band and talking about prison, freedom, and redemption. So we're really looking forward to that. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM. And Prison Pipeline is a program which brings you news and information about prisons, about justice movements to hopefully end these cruel institutions, and also information about what kind of events are happening around legislation and different sorts of justice movements. So tonight we're going to be talking with Steve Griggs. Steve Griggs is a country western music artist who did 20 years in prison for a drug conviction. And when he got out, he started going around bars and honky-tonks in Texas and basically going wherever he could. And eventually he was noticed by some really impressive people. And he's released two albums since he's been out. And he also was recently honored by the Academy of Western Artists. So, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Well, thank you all for inviting me on. I sure appreciate it, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you so much. We really are honored to have you on our show tonight. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I come from a big family, you know, country folks, and pretty much live by the golden rule. And I got kind of greedy there at a point in my life and decided to make some easy money and paid for it pretty dearly, I guess. I actually did 21 years, 9 months in federal prison for it. And there was, you know, it's just strictly a drug case. There was no murders or anything like that. So mm-hmm. a lot of people ask me, man, you got so much time. You must have, how many people did you kill? I said, well, we didn't kill anybody. But I guess we sold drugs, so I supplied them. Mm-hmm. And I paid the price for it. Mm-hmm. But I got out 5 years ago, and just finished my parole and haven't been in any trouble. Really, I was never in any trouble before and haven't been in any trouble afterwards. So I'm just playing music and I go and talk to some of the young people and some of the older folks that are in trouble. They never been in prison, so they don't know what that's all about. They kind of, some people think it's a joke or you know, it's easy to do or whatever, but it's pretty tough, I tell you. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just playing music and trying to enjoy the rest of my life, you know.
That's great, Steve. Steve, where were you born?
I was actually born in San Bernardino, California. My mom and dad were from the Midwest, and they, like a lot of other folks after World War II, they moved out to California and had a pretty good life out there, and then we moved back and forth, you know, like many other folks did. And in fact, on the new album coming out, I wrote a song about them going on their first trip out to California in an old car that its first gear wouldn't went out, so they couldn't get up the hills going out there around Flagstaff, Arizona. And so they would turn the car around and put it in reverse and drive up the hill and then turn around at the top and drive on down, you know.
Mm-hmm. So your album is
American Ingenuity.
Mm-hmm. Your album is From Fort Worth to Bakersfield.
Yes, that's the last album we put out. Now the one we're putting out now is called Moving Forward.
Oh, great!
Appropriately named, I think.
Now, is where were you incarcerated in Texas? Were you in Fort Worth?
I did 10 years in Fort Worth Federal Prison. I did 4 years in El Reno, Oklahoma. You know, when I first went in, of course, I had a high security level because of probably the international drug smuggling and all that stuff. So I had a pretty high level, and so I got to spend a little time in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's a high-level prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terre Haute.
And then, right, and then I went to to El Reno, Oklahoma. That's a medium level. And as I worked my way down, I spent 4 years inside of the Federal Transfer Center there at Oklahoma City.
Wow.
So they wanted to keep me inside for a while there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I came on down to Fort Worth and spent 10 years in Fort Worth, and I spent 2 years over in Seagoville.
Mm-hmm. So mostly in Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, Texas, Oklahoma. But I did get to go on a couple of them diesel therapy in the prison lingo. They call it diesel therapy, where if they think that you've got something that they want, information or whatever, then they put you on diesel therapy, and you get to travel and see the country, you know, and mm-hmm. they wake you up at 3:00 in the morning and move you at another place. And
mm-hmm.
so I got to go up to, I've been at Chicago, NBC Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Rochester, Sandstone, Yankton, mm-hmm. I guess it's South Dakota or North Dakota, I can't remember which, but
mm-hmm.
I got to go up there to Yankton and then that was on one diesel therapy trip, and then I went on another one up to the East Coast, where I went down through Atlanta, USP Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and then down through Coleman, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and then to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and then, believe it or not, I went to a women's prison up in Connecticut.
Okay.
And I was in the hole, so I didn't get to see no women.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went back to Brooklyn. I stayed in Brooklyn for a while, and then NBC Brooklyn, Manhattan. I was in Manhattan. Then we came back down, I think, to Allenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And from Allenwood back to Atlanta, Georgia, and from Atlanta, Georgia back to El Reno in Oklahoma there at the mm-hmm. transfer center.
So it sounds like you went through a federal prison version of Johnny Cash's song, I've Been Everywhere.
That's about it. A lot of people say, man, you know, a lot of guys go in prison and they stay in one or two places, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I got to, for whatever reason, I got that diesel therapy, so they sent me around and traveling for a little while, you know.
Mm-hmm. So who are some of your influences that, you know, have really shaped your music? You had two albums, and is this your third album that's going to be coming out?
This is the second one now that's coming out right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who are some of your, I've listened to all of your songs. It's great. And we're going to play a couple here in just a minute. But before we do, tell me, who are some of your influences?
Well, I was influenced real big by Merle Haggard.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think Johnny was my earlier influence. And, you know, our family, after Sunday dinner, because a lot of families would come over and visit, and or relatives or friends or whatever, and after Sunday afternoon dinner there, we would move the chairs back in the living room, and everybody would play music and sing, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash was big then, and of course, Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings. Willie has been a big influence later on for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just guys like that, you know, the real old country guys.
And your song Prison Blues that we're going to play, can you tell me a little bit? I'll tell you what, let's play the song first, and then afterwards I'd like you to tell me a little bit about the song, like what inspired you to write this song, and what is it about? What is it about for you? So we're going to play your song Prison Blues, and that's off of your last album, From Fort Worth to Bakersfield?
Right.
Okay, great.
Don't you know there's lots of people sitting behind them prison walls? They're just trying to make some money. They messed up and took a fall. Now, I don't mean to trivialize what they did at all, but there's all our brothers and sisters, each one and all, prison blues. Don't you know they got their prison blues? Someone who's suffering with those down home prison blues. Now I hear some country singers sing songs about doing time, but they never really done none. They just singing songs and making rhymes. Now I know old Hag really done some coal and paycheck too, but that's all that I can think of ever had. Prison blues, prison blues. Don't you know they got their prison blues? Everybody knows someone who's suffering with those down home prison blues. A little tribute to all them behind them bars. Something for y'all to think about, riding round in your fancy cars. And somebody said this song sounds like one done by old Ray Wiley Hummer. But I could never be so sanctified to compare to that redneck mother, prison blues. Everybody knows someone who's suffering with those down home prison blues.
Oh, that was just amazing. Thank you for letting us play that, Steve. Can you tell us a bit about that song?
First of all, if y'all have prisoners who listen in, I'll just give a big shout out to them and say hi and hope y'all are doing well and keep your chin up and keep going forward, you know. That song there was a lot of different innuendos and things in that song. I wrote it, of course, while I was in prison, and it's kind of a reminder for folks to think, and before you slam people in prison for a long time, remember that they're somebody's brother or sister or mom or dad or daughter or whatever, or son or whatever, and think about that. And you know, there's so many things wrong with our prison system and justice system, and there's so many things right with it. We've got probably one of the best justice systems in the world, but I witnessed it firsthand, and ended up doing a lot of time and dealt with all the prison things, and that's what that song is about. And of course, it also is about modern day country music. I hear a lot of young guys that ain't done no time or nothing like that, and have very little life experience, and they sing about hard times, and they sure haven't done any time in prison, and so it's a statement to that fact too, you know. And of course, Ray Wiley Hubbard is somebody that I've looked up to for several years, and he's he wrote the song Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother, and so I had to put something in there for Ray too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good friend, and a lot of people talk about, you know, how well I'm doing and all, you know, getting out of prison and you're doing really so well and all, but I don't feel like I try to stay humble and don't feel like that I can compare to a guy like that, you know, who wrote one of the anthems for country music, I would say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Johnny Cash or Merle Haggard or any of them guys. And you know, I have a lot of people remark that, man, you sure sound like Merle, and you know, you're doing this and doing that, and there's just no way that I can compare to those guys in my mind. I think they're somebody to look up to, you know, from my shoes anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now you produce, are you, the new album that you're producing right now, did you produce it with Johnny Cash's drummer?
Johnny Cash's drummer, I played with him, and
he played
and
with him.
We've done a lot of things together. He heard me playing and invited me down to his house, ironically, in near Memphis, and I went down there and played some songs with him, and they've got a big studio there, so he stopped everything in the middle of our jam session, you might say, and said, man, I really like what I'm hearing, you know, I'd like to be in on this album. So I said, yeah, let's do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about your career after you got out of prison. I know that when you first got out, you didn't have a job, you didn't really have any place to live. How did you survive your first couple of years out of the pen?
Well, I, of course, my ex-wife didn't want me to come back. You know, I tried to come back and use one of her bedrooms, even though we weren't married or nothing, but she didn't want to have nothing to do with that. And I don't really blame her, you know, I understand. So, but still, that left me with nothing, actually, and I had a couple of friends that gave me a few bucks there to get by with, and I got me a job. One thing I did while I was in prison is I got my paralegal degree.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out, I started working for a lawyer there, and fortunately he gave me an advance. You know, I get a place to live, and my brother helped me and get some clothes and such as that to wear. You know, and I just started going around and catching a ride when I could. You know, and playing at the honky tonks and bars and all that, and just kind of took it from there, you know. I was very fortunate because I played in a we're coming back from a show down in southern Texas here, South Texas, and we came back through near San Antonio, and a fella named Dale Watson had a club there, and unbeknownst to me, he had a camera that he watched the performers while he was riding in his bus. I don't know if you've heard of Dale Watson, but he's pretty big down here.
Is that from Bob Will and the Texas Playboys?
No. Leon Roush.
Yeah.
Dale plays country music, much like Merle and mm-hmm. all that, but Dale's mm-hmm. been around for years and has a solid fan base and all that. Well, anyway, Dale was playing. I mean, he was riding in his bus, and I just happened to go by Dale's club, and they asked me to get up on stage and sing. And Dale, unbeknownst to me, Dale was watching on his closed-circuit TV in his bus. So he told him to book that guy. So that's when I became friends with Dale Watson, and of course, we played there and started getting a lot of other bookings from that, you know. So mm-hmm. Then I just kept doing legal work and playing music, and now I'm playing music and doing very little legal work.
True. And while you were traveling around Texas, you had to come back and report to your parole officer every month, right?
Yeah, I had to report every month, and then anytime I wanted to leave to go do a show or whatever, I had to get permission to leave. So you have to tell them where you're going and where you're staying and why you're going and who you're going with and all that kind of stuff, you mm-hmm. know.
It made it
pretty rough.
Did your parole officer ever deny you the right to travel?
Never did.
Oh, that's good.
I have to hand it to them there. They of course, I always came prepared, you know. I had the motel I'd be staying at. I have to have confirmation from them and confirmation from the club I'd be playing at and all that, you know. So you know, for people who are getting out, if you don't, I mean, it's tough enough being on parole, but you can make it, and I guess I'm a testament to that fact. You can make it through that parole, and if you just do what you're supposed to do and tell them what you're doing, you know, they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you don't fall back into your old ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. And while you were in prison, your daughter grew up. Right. What's your daughter's?
Yeah,
what's your daughter's
name? Son,
your son.
My son is a lawyer, mm-hmm. Steve Jr., and mm-hmm. my daughter Kimberly.
Kimberly.
She's 5 years younger than my son,
mm-hmm.
and they both, of course, grew up while I was in prison because I did 21 years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, and you wrote
a song.
They were
pretty young.
You wrote a song about your daughter.
In there, you know, you get to make phone calls, and so it was her birthday, and I made a phone call to her, and you know, just not being able to be there, and of course, you know, she was crying because I couldn't be there at her birthday party and all that,
mm-hmm.
and I fell off the phone and went back to my bunk and wrote a song about it.
Well, we're going to play a version of that song. We found several, and so we found a really intimate one that I'd like to play. And this is that song that you wrote about your daughter.
Okay.
Wish I could have seen your party. Glad your mama took the call. Glad you couldn't see me crying. I hung the phone up on the wall. Wish I could have been there with you. I'm so proud of Daddy's girl. You're the one I always lived for. But you never see me crying.
behind these prison walls. You never know that I'm dying just to see daddy's girl.
We found that one. It was just I love that version so much that I wanted to just kind of do a an intimate version of that. But you can hear the full recording on your channel, which is the Steve Griggs Band channel. Is that correct, Steve?
Yes.
Oh, great. And can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Well, I wrote it, you know, about my daughter, me not being able to be there, and being so proud of her, basically, and she was doing real good at the time. Both my kids never gave my ex-wife any trouble or anything much to speak of, you know. So I was just really proud of her and wished that I could be there with her, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And how did your daughter turn out?
Well, she turned out pretty good. She's married now, and she's a publicist for a book company and does real well. She lives down in Austin, Texas, and does real well. My son turned out well. He's an attorney here in Dallas, so couldn't be much happier with him, I'll tell you.
Well, that's great. Well, Steve, we're just about out of time. We're gonna go out with Prison Blues again, but I want to thank you so much for being on Prison Pipeline tonight. If people would like to find out more about you, where can they find you online? Where can they find you?
They can look for me on. They can just Google me, SteveGriggsBand.com. Steve Griggs Band on Facebook or any of the social media platforms, Spotify, iTunes, all that kind of stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm. Great. And you've got a new album. When is your new album going to be released?
It should be released around September 1st.
September 1st. Great. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being on the program tonight. We're going to close with Prison Blues again. That was the program. That was the show we played just a minute ago. And we're going to close with that instead of our normal closing song, because we're just so honored to have you on the show, sharing your story. And I think your story really gives a lot of hope to people who are in right now. So let's go out with Prison Blues, and we will see you all next week on Prison Pipeline. Steve Griggs Band, Prison Blues.
Don't you know there's lots of people sitting behind them prison walls? They're just trying to make some money. They messed up and took a fall. Now, I don't mean to trivialize what they did at all, but there's all our brothers and sisters, each one and all. Prison blues. Don't you know they got their prison blues? Suffering with those down home prison blues. Now I hear some country singers sing songs about doing time, but they never really done none. They just singing songs and making rhymes. Now I know old Hag really done some coal and paycheck too, but that's all that I can think of ever had them prison blues.
This song's just a little tribute to all them behind them bars. Something for y'all to think about, riding round in your fancy cars. And somebody said this song sounds like one done by old Ray Wiley Hubbard. That I could never be so sanctified to compare to that redneck mother.
That was Steve Gregg's band with Prison Blues. Steve Gregg's, who was just interviewed on Prison Pipeline. It is 7 p.m. and you are listening to KBOO Radio. Coming up shortly is Hard Knock Radio. And KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting Taj Mahal with Mark Cohn, featuring guest vocalist Blind Boys of Alabama, Friday, August 16th. All ages are welcome. Tickets and more information available at zooconcerts.com.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll screen Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil on Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, Cuba's oil supply was cut by more than half. This film tells of the hardships and struggles, as well as the community and creativity of the Cuban people during this transition away from a highly mechanized agricultural system